Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Wow, like you're taking this so well. Like, you're so positive, blah, blah. I'm like, that's the only choice. It's the only choice with a shit hand.
I'm done. Like, I'm done feeling sorry for myself. Yeah.
I remember like being kind of disgusted with myself for using beauty filters.
I'm the exact same way.
You're not owed anything. So like everything want, you gotta go get.
I get so many comments that are like, oh, like, how can you, like, you know, be so like happy when your skin looks like that? Do you want me to like sit in a corner and cry about it for like the next 5 years until it maybe goes away? Like, it's time to get loud. Welcome back to Loud Talk with Lavi, a podcast where we break down the walls of beauty standards one flaw at a time. And today I have such a special guest, Taylor Eford. Thank you so much for joining me today, Taylor.
No problem. I'm happy to be here. Excited to be here.
Very good. So how have you been? I feel like I haven't seen you in like months, or like we haven't really chatted either.
Yeah, true. I guess the last time it was when you were here in Toronto for the like Indeed Labs thing or whatever.
Yes. And then I came to your improv show, which still to this day was like one of the best nights of my life. So like, that was so
I'm
much
glad.
Fun. Actually, like since then, me and my boyfriend have went to a couple comedy shows, and every time we go, like, I just think about that night. Cause like, you know, some comedy shows, like they're really good. And then other ones you're sitting there like, oh yes. Gosh, what did we pay for?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It can really go either way.
That's really great. And you're getting married soon. Well, I don't know how soon, but like you're engaged now. That's a big update since the last time we talked.
Yes. Yeah. It should be like in a year. Like we're hoping 2024. So.
Right. And let's talk about that for a second, because you literally, I think, created like a new term, rat bride.
Yes. I think I am like the term creator. Like I even Googled it because I'm like, I don't want to steal someone else's thunder if someone else like came up with this.
But, right.
Like, the only other thing is like a Zootopia character and like a Nutcracker potential character.
Yeah.
But yeah, essentially it's just like a human where like the wedding process just doesn't suit them. And you just constantly have rat reactions instead of normal like bridal instincts. It's like, no, I hate it. I'm hating everything. I'm a rat.
There you go. I love how you just like embraced it. And like now, like, I think so many people are commenting on your videos too, like saying how much they relate to you on this. Because I do think the whole, like, I mean, not that I've, you know, gotten married yet or like have been through that process, but I do think it is really romanticized, like the whole process.
Yeah.
And like for me, like I haven't even been through it yet. And anytime I think of like wedding stuff, it just stresses me out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's completely romanticized, and the industry is effed up. I don't know if you swear on this podcast, but it's messed up.
you can swear all you want.
It's like this pressure for what? Like my rat zone, like when I get in the rat zone of just like the rat brain, I'm like, for what? Like we're spending this much money for what?
For what?
To say I
love
you?
That's how I feel too. Like it's like, it doesn't scare me to get married of like the actual like marriage, you know?
Yes.
But the whole process, like I have some friends, you know, getting married soon. It's like, the amount of events or like it's crazy, and it's like this is not even for me, so I couldn't even imagine like how much stress it would cause if I'm like planning all of this for myself.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And it's like I'm like I want to do it. Like, my rational brain exists too, where I'm like, you know, you only do this once. Like, it's very special. I can't wait to marry Zach. Like, all the nice things. But then right. the rat just steps in and is like, like, go to City Hall. Like, this is stupid. Like,
So what are you guys doing, like, in terms of events, and what are you not doing?
So, well, it's also tough to navigate with weddings, like, people's expectations, like, in families and stuff. Right. So, like, there is that. If I had it my way, it'd be like a little different, but we are going to do like, I think the proper 100-person wedding, which okay. is not what I wanted, but like, I'll do it. Like, if that's Zach's dream, like, you also don't want to crush your partner's dream.
Right.
You know what I mean?
There like, are two their people. Dream wedding.
There's two people, but, we just did our own, like, I took my own engagement photos. So mm-hmm. that was kind of like a rat hack that I had. Cause I'm like, I'm going to hate it if I go with like a photographer and we're in public and she's got a freaking camera. And I'm wearing some, I'm like, I can't. So we just shot our engagement photos on iPhone, which was
I
fun.
I love that.
Yeah, it was like really fun. So like, that was a good like rat hack. I'm not doing a stag and doe. I can't. I don't want bridal showers. I don't need them. I'm sure there will be some, because then people want to do it for you. Like, that's the other thing. Like, it like breaks people's hearts when they're like, I can't throw you a bridal shower. Like, you know, like moms yeah. and aunts, they dream of doing that, you know? So it's so tough. Looking forward to the bachelorette. I think that would okay. be fun. Yeah, that one's not so bad. But I also told my girls, I'm like, I don't really need to be celebrated the entire time. Just like one dinner on like a girls trip would be like fine for me. Yeah. So I don't know. It's fair. Just like, crazy. It's a crazy journey. Yeah.
Oh, I bet. And like, are there anything that you guys have discussed that you're maybe doing like at your actual wedding that maybe isn't as like traditional or like what people would expect?
Maybe. Like, I don't know if we have anything yet, but I, you like, speak full circle. Like, I love comedy. So like, I kind of lean more towards like, just like it being fun rather than it being like an intense romantic thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to do just like some, yeah, more non-traditional, just like fun things at the wedding. Like, I don't know if I really want like a serious first dance. Like, mm-hmm. I'd kind of rather like do a really cheesy routine and make fun of it and just like have fun, like mm-hmm. you know. But yeah, we'll see. We're definitely gonna do all the pictures before the wedding, which okay. a lot of people are doing now, like the first look, and then you just like get all your shit done, and then like then you can just go enjoy. I like right. that idea. So yeah, so far I haven't come up with anything too good, but again, I think it's because like as a rat, like I also don't want like a lot of attention. I don't need any like show-stopping moments. I just want to get through the thing.
Right.
But no,
that does sound like a lot. And like, I don't even know, because like, I feel like so many girls, like, they like grow up thinking of exactly like the type of wedding they want and stuff. Like, I don't think yeah. I've ever thought about that like a day in my life until people have asked me about it. And then I'm like, yeah. I have no idea. Like, I know I want like a bigger wedding just because that's what I grew up with, like culturally, yeah. like they were all big, but like other than that, like I have zero clue. So I'm like, I don't know.
And then you add in like, it's all fun and games to think about it, but then when you add in like the checkbook and it's your bank account doing the like, that's gonna pull up to the table for these dreams you have, it's like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, like we're good.
I spend my money on that.
Like, actually, what? We're good.
You know what, flowers, who needs those?
No, like, it's like nothing.
That's like the one sad, like, I love flowers. Those suckers are so expensive. Like, it's not happening. It ain't happening. Like, I would love beautiful flowers ever. It's not happening.
Yeah. No, some things you just gotta reel it back into reality and be like, yep.
Yep. Not happening. Yeah, it's really crazy, like the wedding industry and all the pressure, and like, you know, I know you like debunk beauty standards here and like talk about brides, like it's the most intense pressure I've ever felt to look perfect. It's like right. that day, like I'm already stressed about it, you know?
Well, definitely, it's, like even growing up just watching, like, I don't know, like Say Yes to the Dress and all this stuff, and it's like yeah. everyone puts so much pressure on like looking good for that day in terms of like, oh, I need to lose 10 pounds by my wedding day, and I yeah. need to make sure my skin is at its clearest or my hair, blah, yeah. blah, or whatever it is. And it's like, why, like, yeah, it is like a very special day, but at the end of the day yeah. it's just one day to the start of like your whole marriage, and like
exactly
also like you're marrying the person like you love and that like, you know, hopefully loves you back the same way, yeah. so it's like at the end of the day, like, it doesn't matter that much.
No.
And there's this pressure. But I did want to ask you, like, you know, since you are like also a content creator, do you feel pressure in terms of the wedding to like provide content? to like your viewers?
Yes. It's like a weird, that's what I'm like trying to explain to my family. Cause I think that's like a big part of like the rat is like, I'm not really going down this process the way I would have if I wasn't a content creator. I would have let the rat like fully win if I wasn't a content creator. Like I would have been like, I don't want a thing and nothing needs to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, like all this stuff, but you do feel like these weird pressures, which you can like rationalize them in your head and be like, that's stupid. Like you don't need to think of it as anything else. And everyone will tell you like, it's your day. Like as long as you have fun. But at the same time, like a regular person feels insane pressure to throw the perfect party. So then when you add the fact that like a lot of eyes are going to be on it and not all of them love you, like some of them are like might hate on it,
watching
it is, like,
in spite weird... yeah,
yeah, it's like this weird extra pressure. Or if you don't do something like people would imagine, like sometimes I get comments from followers that are like I can't wait to see what you do with this, and I'm like, I wasn't even gonna do that. Do I need to do that? Should I? Oh shoot, like should I do
things
that?
You and don't even think about.
Yeah, it's all stupid and superficial, but it does weigh on you. Like, I think, I don't know, like anything does. Because as I said, like a person with a regular job, you know, going into this is still already experiencing stressed, like mass amount of pressure. So then, yeah, when you just kind of factor in that, like, obviously you're going to post about it, you know, like it's a great piece of content, you know, mm-hmm. and it's fun to share and all this stuff. And I don't know, just trying to remind myself that like my sister said the best thing to me when I was like stressing out about my wedding dress, like, cause I picked a dress and like, then I cried for like 3 days after picking it. Like, I love it, but I freaked out. I was like, I was like, everyone's going to call it Chugi online. Like, everyone's going to be like, it's Chugi. Like, you know,
oh,
like,
my God.
Cause they all kind of are, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You can afford like a, you know, whatever stunning supermodel moment. I can't, you know? But she said like, it's not the dress that makes the wedding. It's the love that makes the wedding. Like that's what makes people excited about things, is when they can see like an authentic love and an authentic excitement. That's when mm-hmm. things are like great to watch. So you just have to hold on to stuff like that.
Absolutely. No, I agree with that. And that's the thing, like, you know, as you said, like someone with a regular job is already stressed and everything about the wedding process, but now you just have a whole another layer and hundreds of thousands of eyes waiting to judge you on your every move. Yeah. With that being said though, like, are you guys thinking of like, you know, like getting the wedding like recorded? Like, are you gonna like have your phone on you? Like, I don't seem like, you don't seem like the type of person that like would like kind of have your phone on you like during it, but like, how are you gonna kind of take like the content side of things during that?
Yeah, it's funny, like I've thought about it, because like in one way I think it would relax me to work.
Okay.
Like I think it like really helped me to just like think it's fun and do my little skits, make
just
my little
another
videos.
Day. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's like what grounds me sometimes. Like I really enjoy like something I think we have both done with like things that have made us insecure is like put them out there.
Yes.
Right? Like I'm going to be brave about this. I'm going to use this. I'm going to be loud, you know, like exactly what your podcast is. And so it's like, it's kind of like, I'm like, ooh, it could be helpful to just really like have fun with it,
mm-hmm.
vlog it. But at the same time, then I don't want to hear the comments of like, ew, like she's not taking in the moment authentically. Like, but right. Like you can't freaking win. Like you
no.
just can't, you know? So I don't know. Like, and then I thought maybe to ask like a friend to just film content throughout the mm-hmm. day. You know, something like that. But then I really like privacy. So like adding someone else to the room for me is like, I don't want anyone else watching right. me. Like I really like doing things on my own, not being looked at like by other, I don't know. So that is an interesting question. We'll see what I end up with. Part of me is like, just enjoy it for yourself. And then mm-hmm. the other part of me is like, it's just another day. Like, mm-hmm. and it's fun. It's really fun for me to make content. Like I really like being a content creator, you know?
Right. Well, speaking of content creator, I don't think I actually know, like, how did you get into content creating?
Yeah, well, it's through like wanting to be like an actor and a comedian. Mm-hmm. I was like in improv and like starting to do like the odd show, and then the pandemic hit and I was like, oh, like this sucks. Like I was just starting to, you know, get on stage. I missed that.
Right.
So I started doing skits I first posted a really stupid skit on Instagram.
Okay.
And it got like a really bad reception on Instagram, and at the time I only had like 2,000 followers, so like already like a pool of 2,000 was like, we don't like this, like we're not, like, because I was being a freak, like I was being weird, like I was just being like dumb comedy, like whatever.
Yeah.
And then someone, I think it might have been not a hate comment, but like you could interpret it either way, someone said like, you should go on TikTok they like that kind of video there. And, you know, because it was just very clear, like, this isn't what Instagram wants. Like,
right.
Stop doing that here, you know?
I mean, they're not wrong. Like, Instagram is so much more, like, polished and perfect. Whereas TikTok, like, you could wake up straight out of bed, like, say what you need to say, and people will be like, yep, this is what we need.
Exactly. So then I started posting, like, my stupid, like, skits on TikTok, and then they started, like, blowing up. And, yeah, I never really thought of being a content creator. I kind of just wanted to, like, test my comedy, like, on an audience over the pandemic, because I couldn't do that anymore. I couldn't grow anymore in the way that I wanted to. And I was like, okay, I get maybe like some feedback this way. And then it just really obviously took off and snowballed. And I was like, oh, sick. Okay, cool. You know?
Wow. So how long have you been on TikTok then?
Since the end of 2019.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So and I then... put like that's when the one, that's when like I had posted like an Instagram video and someone was like, you should get over there. So I posted like one video in 2019. And then when the pandemic started, I was like, maybe I'll start throwing stuff back on that app I tried.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. And like, so growing up, because I know like there's so many content creators like.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Me being one of them, whereas like growing up, like we always like made content. Like I would make videos with my brother at like the age of like, I don't know, like 6 years old and stuff. Like I was always making videos and stuff. Like, did you ever kind of try content creating, or were you one of those people who like tried posting YouTube videos like when you were younger? Like
I never did any of that, but I think I did like kind of like an adjacent like with creativity. Like I was always like that kid, like I was making like rock art outside and my parents would like take a picture of it. Right. Like, I was always making things. Like I've always loved just making things. I would do puppet shows with my Beanie Babies, like, and I'd invite my parents and my family in my room to watch my puppet shows. And I've always been, like, putting on a spectacle. Like, I've always been, like, if you look at pictures of me as a child, it's like, oh, that kid, you know, is giving theater kid, you know, like, ever since like, a very young age. So there was that. And then I was very obsessed with America's Next Top Model.
Okay.
So my friends and I in high school would take, like, all kinds of, like, modely photos, but yeah. I never posted them anywhere. I never really thought of the content creation space until I really went into acting and content creation became like a bit of a cool thing where I was like, wow, like normally actors and comedians in the past, they didn't really have any control on their career. Like they had to be seen by the right person, by them coming to their show. Like it's really hard or getting in the right audition room. You physically had to.
Yeah, that exposure.
Yeah. And so when social media started coming up and I was graduating my master's in acting, I was like, I should really start trying to just like put my face out there. Cause like, seems like that's like a cool way to like get in one of those rooms. Like now there's like this internet room you could maybe get on.
Right.
So that's kind of where it like came from that I started a bit of an Instagram. I had not heard of TikTok until I got that comment. And then I was like thankful to that person forever because they were right.
Interesting. And then, so how did you kind of transition? Obviously, you still post your skits and like you still do the whole comedy thing, which I think is awesome. But how did you kind of transition kind of more into the beauty space as well?
Yeah. So like, well, some of the first skits was, I don't know why, like I'm sure Sephora will never work with me, but it was making fun of Sephora and like the experience of someone with acne going in a Sephora.
Right.
So like I think they were like quite relatable and like, at the time, I didn't really realize that it could become anything. So I wasn't filtered in terms of like, oh, I could work with these people potentially.
You just said what you wanted to say. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then it's like, yeah, like
I haven't seen that skip, but that experience, I think anyone with acne can relate, because the way I like am treated when I walk into a Sephora, when I'm like makeup free versus when I have a full glam on,
yes,
completely different. Like,
yeah,
it's insane. Yeah.
And sometimes you have a great experience in Sephora. Like, trust me, I'm addicted to Sephora. I love her.
Take all my money.
Yeah, like literally, like it does, you know. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, like especially before I had like the confidence with the acne, it really like affected me. And so,
absolutely.
Or like you'd go in, like I just, one skit was like I was going in for like a foundation, and instead I was like brought to the acne cream.
Yes.
It's like I did not bring up my acne. Like, yeah.
Well, it's always so funny because even like when I go now recently and I'm not wearing makeup, and like, you know, you get that unsolicited advice of like, you should try this cleanser or whatever. And I like look at the cleanser they're pointing out to me or whatever cream it is or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, oh, I just did an ad for that product like 2 months ago. But like, I'm not going to tell them that. But
no,
like sometimes
exactly.
I really want to be like, yeah, I work with that brand actually. You know,
like, yes. Yeah, exactly. Give it to me. Them. Like,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, actually, I just got PR from them like a week ago, but thanks for the rec.
Yeah. Also, sorry for the sirens. I live in Toronto and it's an unfortunate just regularity. So I'm sorry if people can hear the sirens.
Yeah. No, you're all good. You're all good. So, yeah, like, is it kind of crazy looking back, like, how you just kind of randomly started posting these skits and now, like, you're a content creator, but also, like, I would say you're known very well in the beauty space as well, which wasn't really your intention.
Yeah, it really wasn't. Like, it was just, but I just always, like, I started just getting, like, this passion for, like, fighting for, like, acne. And, like, when I first started on TikTok, that was not the case. Like, I used the beauty filter. I was so insecure. Like, you know, it was bad. And then I, like, the more I was on social media, the more I was like, wow, like, screw this. Like, why can't acne be celebrated? Why can't it be beautiful? So I think that's what really like pushed me into the beauty space, and then sharing what I knew about acne for people, because I had had like really bad experiences where even like estheticians had led me wrong in the past, or like being really careful who you go to, like you need a really good esthetician. Don't just attack your acne. That's a lesson that was hard to learn. Like, you need to nourish her. Like, so it just, and then slowly, like, you know how it goes. Like, you start getting the comments like, oh, what's the makeup routine? Oh, what's your hair routine? Oh, like, what's the skincare? Oh, like, what is tranexamic acid? Or like, what is retinol? And so then you answer those questions, and it just like put me right into that niche. And I'll be honest, it's not the niche I want to be in.
Okay.
But it's the one I got.
Yeah.
And I'm trying right now to move out of it, not because I hate it, because I obviously love it. Like, I'm beauty obsessed. Like,
yes,
it's great. But at the end of the day, I'd really like to be doing comedy. And the era of like makeup and skincare skits is gone, you know? So then I'm like, oh, shoot, I can't really do my, when I could do comedy at the same time, it was great. You know, that was like fun for me.
Right.
But now I'm like trying to move into just like either like vlogs or more of like, I just want to entertain people is what I like to do. So it's interesting navigating now. Like, I'm sure, like, ever since you started posting, like, the landscape shifts and you got to keep moving with it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And like, some videos are doing good, you're like, perfect, I found my thing, let me keep posting these, and then they do so shit and you're like, well, that lasted a week.
Yeah, like, cool, I feel great.
And like sometimes the internet really picks your niche for you and you have no control over it, like you said. Mm-hmm. So like, now sometimes, like, when I'll post like outside of like skincare, you know, and even sometimes, like, even when I just post makeup videos, people are like, okay, like, we don't really care about the makeup, like, talk about your skin. It's like, well, I've talked about it already, you know, like, I'm not going to make every video about, like, what I've been doing, right? Because it's like, you
what's
just
so,
watch.
Yeah, videos. Like, what's so interesting is, like, with social media, this whole niche thing is kind of, like, ruining humans. And then they're like, because if they think that, it's almost like TV, it's like, I'm turning on this channel because this is the nature channel and I want to see nature or whatever it is.
That's
so
a
like,
great
okay,
way to put it.
Lavinia does acne and she makes me feel good about my acne. That's what I want to hear from her.
Yeah.
But when they're like trying to turn in your channel and you're not doing that, they're like, but that's what you do. Like, that's why I come
that's
here.
Why I'm following you.
Yes. And I so get that, because I'm, you know, I'm a consumer of social media too. You know, you follow who you like for all these reasons, but then
no, it makes sense. It's just
when you're trapped in a niche, you're like, but I'm a dynamic human, like, I want to talk about other things.
I have other things to share. But then on the other hand, I get comments so much that are like, all she talks about is her acne. She, like, this is the only reason she has a career, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, so I post other stuff. And then you're like, no, 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 I don't care about this.
Yes.
So go back. And it's like, oh, you talk too much about this. So you never win. But you know what? It's a fun and crazy world. So, like, how have you kind of been trying to kind of escape the beauty niche?
I've just been trying to, like, shift things into more like a lifestyle, because I always will love beauty, I will always love makeup, and I'll always want to talk about skincare.
Yeah,
but I would just
it
like
in.
To, yeah, I'd like a more of a balance and just be able to like share more about like my acting or like my comedy nights and like the comedy that I am doing like outside of things. And yeah, again, I don't know if like posting skits online is really the thing at the moment. It really was a thing during 2020, right? Because like we were all stuck in our homes. We'd all watched all the TV we could possibly watch. It was a great time for comedy and skits. But now it seems to be moving into like vlogs, like people like aspirational stuff. Like, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure it out. But at the end of the day, yeah, I'd love to. I just like making people laugh. So like the rat ride thing, I think is really fun, because I'd like to help people laugh at the wedding process. You know, like all these, you know, that's kind of more of interest to me, is just like,
yeah,
adding laughter to like things that don't have laughter, which is what I kind of did with skincare and makeup, but like that's ran its course. And I'm like, okay, how do I inject laughter into something else? Or I don't know. And it's tough. It's, I don't know what to do with it. I'm in a bit of a flop. Like I'm like a bit of a flopper at the moment as I try to like figure it all out.
Well, I know we were texting about it, and that's kind of how I feel
yeah.
too. Cause I was like, what am I doing? You know, like you get in those moments where you kind of sit back and you're like, is my career over?
You know? Yeah. I'm really
terrifying.
One of those right now.
But
yeah.
Are you like, you do content basically full time outside of like acting, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. At the moment.
Does it scare you like as you're kind of escaping like the beauty niche? Because we all know like in beauty, there's so much like ads
yes.
and money and like opportunities and stuff. Does it scare you like kind of leaving that niche like job wise and like, I guess like money
yeah.
security wise? Because like that is a part of it as well for sure.
For sure. And it is scary. And I think a lot of people just wouldn't do it. But at the end of the day, I'm not online to do that. Like, I'm
not
online to make money through content creation. I'm trying to use content creation to get to acting and
where
comedy.
You want to be. Yeah.
So I just have to honor that and try to just keep chasing that. Because I think if I, you know how it is, like, if you always choose money, like, you're selling,
yes,
like, kind of like the dream in a way. But
yes,
at the same time, like, life is really hard right now. You need money. It's obviously stressful.
Yes.
I'm freaking out daily about it because, like, the views go down. Less brands are reaching out. Like, it's hard. It's scary. But at the end of the day, I just have to tell myself, like, you didn't get into this to be a beauty content creator. You got into this to try to get on a Netflix sitcom.
Yeah.
So you got to just keep chasing that.
Yeah. And all these other opportunities are just like a bonus thing that you got to experience. So
exactly.
No, I definitely agree with that. And I have to like come back to that mindset sometimes too. And, you know, since I'll be coming out with like a skincare line soon, I had to sit down and think, it's like, well, how will that affect how many like sponsorships I take on? Right. Cause like, I'd probably want to put more focus into like my line. Right. So like, yeah, that will probably mean like less sponsorships right off the bat. But like, if I have this goal, like I have to follow through with that and not worry about like the effects like in the short run. So
exactly. And like, if you want to get analytical about it, like audiences are not stupid. Like they know what's authentic, you know, they catch
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
They can read you like a book. So at the end of the day, it doesn't pay off.
No.
It might pay off in the short term, but if you're trying to do this long term, you got to just stay true, follow
yes.
like your inner compass. You've got it right. You got here.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, all of this is extra. All of this is a miracle. That's how I look at it. Like,
oh,
it's all a freaking bonus.
Absolutely.
You know?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in school right now, still like studying engineering and stuff. Like, you know, like the fact that I can do content creation and like basically, you know, make a like steady income off of it, like, is a blessing. But I mean, we've had conversations like in private talking about, you know, like creators who enter the space because they do see all the great opportunities that can come and they kind of get wrapped up in that. And then when it starts kind of fading away, because let's face it, like, you can't be viral forever.
No.
People get scared and they take every single sponsorship that they can pick up, and it does start to feel inauthentic. So if there's any creators listening in, like, you know, as you said, like, listen to that inner compass. And it's scary, but like, The next opportunity will come and the next door will open for you on the path that you're supposed to be on. So I do want to kind of switch gears a little bit here and talk to you. Obviously, like, you came online, you know, talked a bit about your acne. Like, was it more so because people were like pointing it out and you decided to talk about it, or was it just something you want to talk about because it was a part of your life at the time?
Yeah, it was more it was a part of my life. I just kind of reached a breaking point. Like, I remember like being kind of disgusted with myself for using beauty filters to hide. Like, I had this huge, just like, you know, I was very unhappy. I was very insecure. I was crying a lot because of my acne. I was eating weird because of my acne. Like, I was letting acne just like fully ruin my life. And I had that, like, you know, when you hit rock bottom, there's only like one place to go, and that's up, you know? And so it was just this kind of like absolute rock bottom where I got so mad at beauty standards, so incredibly mad that the only other option is to go the full other way and be like, F you, like, I'm not obeying this anymore. I'm so done, you know? But it's a, you know, it's a constant battle because we're all faced with like perfection every day. Yes. And there's still days where it gets to me. Like I said, like with my wedding, I'm already like nervous about the acne. Like, it's always going to get to you. But I was like, I don't want to be a part of the hiding anymore. Like, I want to be a part of normalization and everything that comes with normalization. Like, I don't want to, I'm very transparent about it. Like, I want to talk about when I lean back into wanting to fit into the beauty standard. I talk about when I'm like, no, this is weird. Like, or I had this weird moment today where I wanted lip filling. I was like, whoa, like, where did that come from? Yes. Like, am I watching, you know, like, how is that infiltrating my brain? Like, this is weird, you know, because I do get freaked out about it sometimes when I think of others. And I think of what really like got me to talk about my acne was thinking of others in my situation. And I was like, I don't want anyone to feel like this. Like, I can't believe we're made to feel like this. It's messed up that the narrative is this. I'm so tired of it. I don't, I want to fight against it. So it was just kind of like a bit of a freak out.
Right. No, and it is a constant battle because I always get comments asking like, how are you so confident in your skin? Like, how are you able to show your skin? And it's like, there's days where I absolutely don't want to do it, right? But it's like, you got to power through it and it's all a journey. And I think social media keeps me accountable for that because it's like, if I don't want to show up for myself one day, I'll at least show up for other people. Because like you said, I don't want other people feeling this way. And then by like forcing myself to like show my skin that day where I feel like.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Like, shitty about it. It's like, once I do it, I'm like, oh, that wasn't as scary as I
thought. Yes. So,
and it's like, it's just a constant reassurance. And obviously there's some days where like, I'm like, fuck beauty standards, like never doing that. But like you mentioned lip filler right there. Like, I got so many comments recently that like, girl, you need lip filler. Like,
right.
You know?
I get that a lot.
Yeah. And like growing up, I was always told that I look like a young version of Kylie Jenner. So then as she started like getting filler and stuff, like that definitely messed with me as like a kid and stuff. Right.
Yeah.
And just the other day, like, I was at, I was getting, like, this laser treatment. They were just telling me about what other treatments they were, like, doing and stuff. And I've been looking to get, like, underarm Botox for a while. And then I was, like, thinking, I'm, like, do I need anything in my face? And then I'm, like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, I was, like, snap out of it. Like, what rabbit hole are we going down right now? You know? Because I'm, like, we're not doing that, you know? So, and, like, nothing wrong with, like, if you want to change how you look and stuff. It's just, like, you don't need to do it. And I think that's the constant fight we all fight. Because it's, like, you know, society and especially social media amplifies it so much more that we need to look a certain way. And so many things are so out of our control, which like, you know, we all try to fit into this mold of like, whether it's skin or like a body type or whatever, but it's like, no matter what you do, like you're never going to look exactly like somebody else. You know, you even see like the people who go through, I don't even know like what they say, like if you've ever seen like the real life Barbie or the real life Ken,
yeah,
who, like go through like 140 plastic surgeries and they look yeah. nothing like the yep. doll, right? So it's like you yeah. can't achieve that.
No, and it's tough. Like it's like, because I can see it both ways. Like part of me is like, I just want to be sure. Like if I ever went and got like a lip flip, for yeah. example, because my lips are like an insecurity of mine. They always have been. Like I do get the hate comments of like, you need filler, like, you know, blah, blah. If I ever did, like, I wouldn't be mad at myself. I just want to make sure that when I do it, I'm sure. Yes. And that the path I took to get there was a path of like understanding and a want from within, not a want from what I'm like, from all the noise.
From what you're seeing. The noise. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Yeah. And like, just understand that, like, okay, once I get this, like, it will actually bring me like some joy rather than like, you yeah. get it, you look in the mirror and you're like, fuck, I still exactly. know how to look. You know?
If you don't do the inner work to get there, I think.
Yeah.
It's not going to feel as good, and you might end up getting more than you maybe would have if you had just done the inner work, and you know, and if you end up with that decision, because part of my brain's like, hey, you know what? We're on a floating rock. It really doesn't effing matter. You want to do what you want. Like,
yeah.
But it really, like, life barely matters. Like, you know, like I have a very dark like outlook on this because of diabetes, but like, you know, like one day my freaking pancreas just shut off. Like, life is stupid. Like, it's crazy. Like, it's like a video game, and you know, it doesn't really matter the moves you make as long as you're happy.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if you want to do the things to be happy, then do them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think like the best success stories with plastic surgery and getting work done are the ones where it's like, this was a very deep inner want that I thought about,
yes,
and came to the decision in a really clear journaled headspace, like, yes. you know, like
more internal rather than external. Yeah.
Yeah. So in now, your power moment.
I do want to talk, because like you mentioned there, and obviously like you have made, you know, the fact that you have type 1 like very public. You talk about it all the time. You're a huge advocate of like, yeah. you know, showing off your medical equipment and like not being ashamed of it, which I absolutely love. But can you walk me through of like kind of that process of like finding out that you did have type 1 and how that experience was for you and any of the hardships as well that you went through yeah. during that time?
Yeah, so it was like 2020, so it was like almost 3 years ago now.
Okay.
And it was type 1 diabetes, which I didn't even know you could get like in your mid-20s. Like, I did not know that. And so I just like started getting really sick, but it was obviously during the pandemic, so nobody was like going to hospitals, and all the doctor calls were like on the phone if you could, you know, it was like mm-hmm. locked down. And I lost like 40 pounds. I was really weak wow. and shaky and nauseous. I was extremely sick. Like my legs would be quaking. And then eventually I lost feeling in like my left leg. Like it was like kind of numb in my calf. I had my period every 2 weeks for 2 weeks. Like wow. my body was just like, it was just like, I was like, oh my gosh, like something is really wrong. And I
right.
went to the doctor once and he just thought it was my birth control. So I did not get help there.
Of course.
I know. And then I go again and I'm like, I can't feel my leg. And he's like, well, are you very active? I was like, I do yoga. He's like, you probably pinched a nerve. So I didn't get help that time. And nobody was just asking me the right question. So it was actually like a really tough process. Like, because if he had just like numbness in the legs, for example, is like a really huge indicator. And so if he had just done a follow-up question, like, do you go pee every 30 minutes? I would have been like, yeah. And you would have been like, oh, we should check you for diabetes. Like, because basically like your ketones are so high, your body just flushes like all your fluids.
Okay.
You're severely dehydrated. You're peeing all the time. You're super nauseous. Like, and you are dying. Like you can last, I think, about 6 months without the function of your pancreas.
Wow.
So like your body is dying. And then, so I was feeling really sick. So then they caught it. Probably I was really ill. Like I think I would have been really close to a hospitalization, but finally like the doctor gave me a blood test and then it just came back, and then I was immediately rushed in for more blood tests, and it was terrifying, and I was completely shocked, and they thought I had cancer because okay. they were just like so shocked at like the blood results, because like everything was just kind of messed up. But I think like it's all cleared up now. Like I think it was just because I had gone so long without getting the proper diagnosis, mm-hmm. my body like freaking out and things yes. were really weird. So it was a very dramatic time. So it was tough. It was really tough. And it just like kind of just felt like the universe had given me another kick, and I just didn't understand why. And mm-hmm. I really like to understand why. Like I always am like one of those like everything happens for a reason girlies.
I'm the same way. I'm the exact yeah. same way. And I'm like, okay, but like I get you're like trying to, you know, teach yeah. me something, but like
yeah.
let's get but to why? It. You know?
Yeah. Like, why me again? Like, mm-hmm. stop picking on me, because there's some other things in my life where I was like, I seem to be going through a bit more than my peers. Like, can we chill?
Like, get you're trying to make me the strongest human, but like.
Yes, literally. So it was like, that was more like the challenge was just like being very angry at the universe for a bit there. But then you move on and you find a new normal. And that's really what it is. You just have to mourn. The mourning of my past self was tough. Like, I really felt like I had died. Like, I couldn't get over who I was because I felt like I had died. I didn't know who I was anymore with this, because for me, especially, I think like one of my like qualities that I would have always like identified myself with was my energy.
Okay.
And I have half the energy I used to have. It's like bringing a tear to my eye right now. Like, I miss her. I really miss her. Why am I crying? Diabetes is tough, but like, I miss her. And so that was like the biggest hurdle, is like, I'm not her anymore. Like, who am I now? Cause I couldn't just like get up in the morning and be the burst of energy and blah, blah, blah. So that was like a big hurdle, and just understanding like a new way to like write out your life. And then all these scary side effects was also like a weight on me. And it just, you just really have to rewrite how you saw your life going. And like, you're just responsible for way more things now. But at the end of the day, you can live a really great life with type 1. It's just harder. And the new normal does come, but getting to that is really tough.
So what were like the hardest adjustments I would say like in your day-to-day life that you had to go through?
Basically, it's just like you have to be your pancreas. Like, it does a lot of work for you. And there's no cure to this disease. Like, there's no pill you can take that like will regulate it for you.
Yeah.
You have to do the math. You have to do the carb counting. You have to do the dosing of the insulin. Like, you have to get that right, because the insulin will kill you. And that's what a low is. Like, if you don't catch a low, like if you don't put sugar back in, like you go into a diabetic coma and you would die, or like, you know, really bad things would happen.
Right.
And then extreme highs, you have to manage those as well. So like, you're just constantly 24/7 kind of chained to this. And I think that's a bigger adjustment. And like everything I do, you know, like I was at a wedding on Saturday, and it's like, you're freaking out that you got your numbers right, because I don't want my medical equipment to go off during this wedding, or I don't want to take away from other people like during this wedding, you know. And just always, it's just always on your mind to just be managing it. So that's the biggest like daily adjustment. It's not like the management of it. Well, the management is tough, and you like never get it perfect, it feels like. But I was actually pretty okay with the needles and the all the crap. I was like, okay, I'll shove this in my leg. Like, okay, all right.
You gotta do type thing. Yeah,
I did okay with that. It's just more the weight of it. That was like the bigger adjustment.
And like, do you feel like it's also because like you can kind of never like catch a break from it? Like, it's like something you're always gonna have to do.
Yes, yeah, it's called diabetic burnout. Like, we all know burnout, but so diabetic burnout, it's like you can get very exhausted by the weight and the constant management. And you genuinely just, there's no minute of the day that you get off. Like,
yeah.
And that's just kind of like what that disease is. And it's also like, it plays games with you. Like, oh my God, it can be just so horrible. And you don't know why, you know, like, you don't know what you did wrong. Like, why do I feel horrible today? Like, or you have a low in the middle of a dog walk and you're like, I just want to be like any other girly on her hot girl walk right now, but I feel like trash.
Yeah.
And like, it's just, yeah, it can be a lot, but it's also like, you know, all the toxic positivity things, it's strengthening, it's character building. It's those things as well, but it is at the end of the day just like a really hard thing to have, and I don't wish it upon anyone, just like any disease, you know. It affects, it just changes life, it shifts life, you know.
And do you feel, I mean, I'm assuming you felt this way in that moment, but do you feel like you almost lost control over like your own body when you found out?
I lost complete trust in my body. And okay. I still have lost that trust. Like, I just don't trust her. I just feel like I'm in like a ticking time bomb. Like, it just so like that was like a real weird like relationship with my body as well. Cause like, when you're just like healthy, you just really take it for granted.
Yes.
And when it's gone, it's gone. And it's really shocking. And then you're just kind of scared as to like what else could happen, because, you know, other things have kind of gone, you know, like I'm high risk for another autoimmune disease at the moment, because they tend to stack, not for everyone, but they can. And so it just feels like this constant battle, and you don't want to like hate your body, but I often feel very like trapped in my body. which is like a tough and frustrating experience. Just again, as someone with who identifies being high energy, it's just like, hey, like you don't align, like you suck, like this is not what I want to be stuck in, you know?
Right.
Which I think like is probably relatable to anyone with a disease or like disability. It's just those feelings of like, ah, like I don't like it. It officially becomes a skin suit. I don't know if anyone's like, no, like, you know, like sometimes that's like used as like a positive thing. Like it's just like a skin suit. But it genuinely just becomes that to you. You're like, this is annoying. I'm trapped in this body that doesn't want to work like everybody else's.
Right. Did you find like, obviously, I mean, we've talked before, about kind of that comparing yourself to other people on social media in terms of like your skin and stuff, but like, did you find you were doing that same comparison like with your body and like kind of thinking like, you know, to the universe, like, why me? And like, you know, other 20-year-olds don't have to go through this, and like, I have to deal with this now.
Yes, like, but it was funny, like, kind of, it was the first time where the comparison actually entered real world. Like, it was harder being around my friends. It was harder being around my siblings, my family. Like, that got harder, because then it was like you were just like in the room with the fact that you are existing in a tougher, with a tougher hand than everyone else. And like, you know, watching like friends go out on weekends and drink, and I just can't really do that. And you can, like, I'm not trying to like say diabetics can't drink. It's just, it's much more dangerous, obviously. And like, it's trickier for some than others. And, or like watching them like all, you know, kind of enjoy going to a restaurant and not worrying about like the math to eat that thing, or like worrying about like, okay, if I get this wrong, am I gonna, if we go to the movies later, like pass out in the movie theater, or like be dramatic at the movie theater, am I gonna be able to walk to the movie theater? Okay, I'll take this much less insulin. So it's just like more present, less. Yeah, I think I just like, just real, it got real real, like, which was kind of good, like, to instead of like comparing to online, because that used to be the thing for sure, like just like all these influencers, like when they would like complain about one zit and you're like, ah! Like, you
know? It's like, if you're crying, like, what should I be doing at this point? Yeah.
Yeah, so no, it got a little more like real worldy, and it, but it was kind of like a blessing in that sense, because something it has given me is just this really, whether it's dark or not and come from a toxic place, but it's just this real ability to be like, nothing fucking matters. Right. Nothing matters, man. Like, it's crazy. Like, when you're faced with the ability, like, I could die in my sleep tonight, it's like, wow, nothing matters.
Well, and it just goes to show you, like, we stress and, like, become anxious about so many little things in our life. Like, for example, yeah, as we've talked about, like, pimples on our face and stuff. Yeah. And it's like, at the end of the day, like, as long as your body's like, yeah, like functioning good, you're still breathing, right? Like, who cares if you have acne? Who cares if like you have this? You know, it's like, we're all just here trying our best, and we're all like dealing with the cards life has handed us. So,
yeah, and it's like, that's not to diminish any of those things, because I still have tough times with my acne. There's still in the world, so I don't mean it that way, but like. Yeah, sometimes, and I think people with other, like, traumatic experiences, like, yeah, you just go through this kind of, like, wow, life, she's not on your side. You can work with her, but she, like, you can really do what you want with this earth, because, like, things can change on a dime, and it just, it is a cool perspective shift that I didn't expect.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Expect to be given, right. And it's been neat to have, like, so it's been one positive.
I do talk a lot about, like, especially on this podcast as well, like, internal and external locus of control. And telling people that they do have like more control over their life than what they think they do, right? Because at the end of the day, like, you know, you are dealt certain cards, but it depends kind of how you take that on. And obviously, like, for you, when you got diagnosed type 1, like, that wasn't really something in your control, you know? It's like, you know, obviously, like, your body kind of just kind of decided to do that for you, and that wasn't something you could really control. But do you think the way you kind of responded to it, you did have control over?
Yes. Yeah, I think I know what you mean. Like, it's like, because everyone kept complimenting me, like, oh my god, like, everyone would be like, wow, like, you're taking this so well, like, you're so positive, blah, blah. I'm like, that's the only choice. It's the only choice with a shit hand.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the shit hand wins, and I refuse. Like, you know?
Yes.
It's the only choice. Like, it's the only choice to make jokes. It's the only choice to allow it to suck, but to just be realistic with it. Like, yep, it sucks, moving on, because this is the freaking hand. So yeah, I know what you mean. Like, it's, you do get that small choice to sometimes choose, like, that stubbornness, almost. It's like a stubbornness, like, against it. Like, same with, like, acne. It was like the same feeling of, like, you know what, I'm freaking done.
I'm done. Like, I'm done feeling sorry for myself. Yeah, I totally agree with that, because I get so many comments that are like, oh, like, how can you, like, you know, be so, like, happy when your skin looks like that? And it's like, well, do you want me to, like, sit in a corner and cry about it for, like, the next 5 years until it maybe goes away? Like, what am I supposed to do? Or, like, I can just live my life and choose to be happy with it, right? And I think that's what so many people are, like, hopefully are working to understand. And I try to, like, say that a lot in my messages, is that, like, you may not feel like you have control, and there are things that you cannot control, but that small portion that you can, really try to take a handle over it and take that control back. And as you said, like, be stubborn with it, because it will give you that sense of, like, I actually do have a bit of control, a bit of power over the situation.
And like I was saying earlier, like, some circumstances are so much worse than the one I'm in. So I never want to, like, compare or say, like, anyone should be a certain way, because, like, I don't know anyone else's experience. Yeah. We only all know our own.
Yes.
But even in our everyday, like, even on, like, the worst days, I would choose to go buy a bag of mini eggs. Like, that was a small choice I could make. Like, I could go get my favorite candy,
mm-hmm.
and I could just eat it, and F my numbers if they went funny. I can still do this. And it's just that little bit of, like, finding the things you can go out and do to have a win today. Like, find your wins, and some of us have to fight harder for our wins, you know?
Absolutely.
But you can, hopefully, like, not all circumstances, again, like, I never mean to say that, but in a lot of these shitty hands, there are silver linings of, like, moments of, like, have you heard the term glimmers? Like, instead of like triggers, it's like glimmers, so, like, moments of good. It's like life hacking to find those, you know?
No, absolutely. And I've talked before about, like, how much, and I know you've experienced this too with acne, like, kind of that, like, lack of control, because, like, everything you do in life seems to affect your skin, you know? Like, I go out on the weekend and, like, have an extra piece of cake or whatever, and it's like, well, tomorrow I'm gonna be breaking out, you know? So I couldn't even imagine, like, how much more escalated that is, like, with watching your numbers and all of that. But, like, as you said, like, sometimes when you know how it'll affect your body, and, like, having that well understanding, then you're like, you know what, whatever, I'm gonna enjoy this moment, and, like, I'll deal with it, like, tomorrow, you know? So just taking that control back a little bit. And what do you think, like, what are some of the top, I don't even know if I should call them, like, tips or kind of realizations that helped you get to that point? Because I'm sure a lot of people are listening to this being like, okay, like, this is all great advice, like, take that control back, but, like, how do I get there?
Yeah, like, again, classic me gonna give toxic advice, but, like, lean into the anger.
Yeah.
Anger is a powerful emotion. Like, it can obviously be bad, but it is strong. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, and so, like, that's what really helped with the diabetes. I was angry. I was freaking angry. And it was with that anger that I was like, no, you do not get to dictate my, like, it's where I found my power again.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's using a bit of a toxic emotion, but it's a valid emotion, as long as it's not letting you, like, lash out at your partners or like at the freaking Starbucks worker if they get their order wrong. Like, please don't do that.
Yeah.
But, like, finding that inner anger of, like, the fight. There's a lot of fight in anger, you know? So, like, sitting with yourself and, like, why are you angry? What's made you angry? And if it's like, I can't, you know, I'm not gonna be able to run a marathon anymore. Like, it's going to be impossible for me. Like, mm-hmm. Maybe that was my dream. I'm never going to be able to do that. Well, if you get angry enough, you will find stubbornness, you will find fight. And I bet you anything, you'll run a marathon one day. You know, it's powerful. So, like, it's like, maybe I'd like to give that as like my tip, because I think sometimes we just hear too much positivity, and I am team toxic advice. Like, you know, screw the perfect advice. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it's not always going to help you. You've got to use what you have. And when shit's going down, you have anger.
Yep.
So you're going to have to use her and use her and like laugh about it. Like, that I would do that. Like, I'd get so mad, you know, and I'd be like, this kind of experience of just like laughing at the fact that I'm mad at my pancreas that's just like floating in my body now. I'm like,
right.
Yeah. Like, you know, I'm going to eat mini eggs today, and like, maybe I'll pay the price. But then you show yourself that you can do it. And then I learned, like, oh, wow, I can eat these. Yes, maybe it's going to lead to some high numbers, but it's a choice. It's like going back to that choice, that control.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing I have, you know, and I unlocked that with my anger.
Yeah, no, it's all about like energy allocation, honestly. Like, you know, anger, like, you have that energy, like, but it's your choice whether you're going to let that energy kind of like fizzle out and burn you, or if you're going to invest that energy into something that can bring you light, right? So
I love that. Yes, that's exactly what it is. Just allocating it to the right spot.
Yes, the right source. Absolutely.
And just using what you have and just choosing to be happy, because frick, you just have to. You just, it's like you, with your acne, it's, I love that. Like, what, you're going to spend 5 potential years unhappy waiting?
Excuse and then what? Me? Like, I'll probably still have acne then too. What about, you know?
Or your tits will sag, and then you'll be sad about those. And then it's like, well, I'm never going to be happy then. Like,
exactly. I actually I just made a video. I haven't posted it yet, but you know how this age filter is like all the rage now on TikTok, right? Yeah. And everyone's like, my gosh, I hate how I look, blah, blah. So I made a video. I haven't posted it yet, but I said, like, okay, like, you're looking at this image of yourself, like, much older. You're not liking what you see, right? And I was like, you are the youngest you'll ever be right now. So if you don't love yourself right now, when the hell are you ever going to reach that point? You know?
Yes.
Like, it's just part of life. You know, you're going to, like, your skin's going to start sagging. You're going to get wrinkles. Yeah. So, like, you might as well just start loving on yourself now and, like, let those negative opinions, like, be in the future. Because, like, what the heck, you know?
I genuinely believe hotness is an energy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a fact. Like,
it is a fact.
You tune in and channel whatever you got going for you on the inside, it reads on the outside. And it's attractive. Like, you know, like that kind of like inner confidence, like it really is. It doesn't really matter on the outside, because people are going to like you. People are going to want to be around you. Like, you know,
exactly. I always talk about how like confidence, because people ask me like, how are you just like so confident? I'm like, I wasn't like, you know, like I didn't come out of the womb like this. It's like, it's a practice. Like, you know, it's a choice I make every single day to show up for myself and be confident. And then now that I've been doing it for so long, but it's been a journey to get here, it's just like, comes a bit more naturally to me. But there's still days where I like am not confident in myself and stuff, but it is a choice. And I totally agree with you, like when you are confident, it radiates onto other people. And I saw this post the other day on Instagram, and it was like, when you can be so comfortable in your body that it makes other people comfortable in theirs, you know. And I think that's so important, because I'm sure like you've definitely experienced this with what you put out on the internet, but like, I'm sure what you share and stuff makes other people feel more confident and comfortable in their body. Right. Because you come on the internet with this, you know, radiating confidence, and you show people like, you know what? Yeah. I'm still hot as fuck. Even though I have like some medical equipment on me, it does not matter the way I present myself. And I'm sure that also like, you know, brings a glimmer, as you said, like in someone's brain, and they're like, oh, okay, like I can do that too. You can do it, I can do it.
Exactly. I just, normalization is just so important. Anything can be aesthetic. Like, I love an aesthetic like acne video, like, you know, like doing the skincare on acne skin. It can be aesthetic. Like, aesthetic is not perfection, and that's not even to say like acne isn't perfect, because who's to friggin' say what's perfect? Like, again, if you have a healthy body, you do have a perfect body in a lot of senses, you know? But it, like, with my medical equipment, like, I can make a vibey video, and the fit can have medical equipment. Like, it exists. So, like, that normalization, the more people, like, us that choose to go online and put out something you could be insecure about and force it into the category of like slay, it's like it's exciting. It's exciting. And it just is proof that like the people who chose what was in suck, and we don't need to listen to them. Like, yeah, we can all choose what's in.
Yeah. And it gives us again that sense of power, because it's like, you know what, I'm dealing with this thing that sucks, but it's like, I'm choosing to like turn it into a good positive thing of helping others. And that right there is power. You know, it's literally taking anger and feeling it into something positive, which I think is really awesome. So kind of shifting gears here, I've talked a lot about how on some, as much as acne sucks and like so painful and whatever, like on lots of days, I am grateful for going through it because it's taught me so much. It's taught me that like looks are superficial, it doesn't matter, like all the stuff we've been discussing. Is there anything that, you know, as much as like type 1 has given you hardship, like is there anything you're grateful for having it?
That's a harder one for me. Like, I was asked that once, like I was like interviewing for like some, like during Diabetic Awareness Month, and a reporter asked me that, and they're like, but they're like, what was the positive?
Okay.
And it's tough because it's like, I wouldn't say anything about this disease is necessarily positive. But it can teach you, like, I guess that like nothing's permanent.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of the harder lessons that are beautiful lessons to learn at a young age, which is great. Like, your health is not permanent, you know, like good things aren't permanent. Mm-hmm. Nothing's guaranteed. You aren't owed anything by anyone. Like, they're not exactly like positives, you know what I mean? But they're good lessons.
For sure.
Not
many people get those lessons so early on.
Young, exactly. And so that's what I have been grateful for, is like, I'm getting them now, and it's tough now, but I'm so much more ready for other stuff to come, and I know my limits mm-hmm. a little more. But at the end of the day, like, it's still sad to have had to like learn these things.
Yes.
It's sad for anyone to learn hard messages.
Absolutely.
But yeah, you can always draw the silver linings from a hard message. But yeah, it's just been eye-opening to just kind of like how I was living life. I feel like before I was just living life like very unaware.
Right.
And like, as if, not that I was invincible, because I still had anxieties about like planes and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, like I didn't think I was invincible, but it did shift into perspective, like, whoa, this is real. And yeah, you're not owed anything. So like mm-hmm. everything you want, you got to go get.
Wow. That point there you made, like about no one owes you anything and you have to go into the world and get what you want. Like, I don't hear that one often, especially from like people our age. So that's definitely a very eye-opening lesson. And it can be frustrating. Like you mentioned there, like, you know, I feel like during my life, I had to kind of grow up really fast, you know, like I'm 21 now. And I feel like from the age of like 12, like I had to like kind of be an adult. And so many people in my close circle tell me, like, Lavinia, you're so strong, like you've gone through all this, like you're so strong. And it's like, some days, like, it's like I'm grateful that like I was able to build so much strength by this age, but other days I'm like, well, I don't want to be strong, you know, like I don't, why did I have to go through all that shit just to like you know, like, you know. So kind of exactly like you said, like I didn't, they're great lessons to learn, but like, why did I have to learn them so young, you know? So
That's a tough pill to swallow. I don't have any advice on how to swallow that pill. I think it's a pill that exists in all of us that had the harder hand early, because that's just not really when most people are getting their hard hands.
Yes.
So it can feel very frustrating. You can feel very mad at like the universe or whatever you believe in. That's a tough experience. And it's not exactly a positive one, but it does really wake you up quicker. And we will have advantages from that, and just as people who don't go through tough things have advantages. So
exactly.
Like, there's pros and cons to both.
Oh, absolutely.
And at the end of the day, you just gotta sit with that hand you're dealt. Like we were saying, like,
you choose how to take that hand. Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think, you know, like, I think we all learn like a lot of the same lessons as we go throughout life, whether, you know, we learn some earlier on, you know, you learn some earlier on than a lot of other people your age, you know, they might learn them later on in life, but at the end of the day, like, you're all probably going to learn similar lessons. And the fact that you can have this platform online and inspire others and push them is really great. Before we end off, I do want to kind of end on a lighter note. What are kind of some of your, let's go back to like you being an actor and stuff. Like, what are your some of your goals for this next year in like the acting space?
I'd really love to get like a comedic role on a show,
Okay.
even if it's like one episode, like just someone give me a chance to play like a quirky whatever character.
Yeah.
I would really, really love that. Like, I love embarrassing myself. Lavinia knows because she came saw like the comedy. I have no problem embarrassing myself. I'm like, give me the opportunity. I'll do it. Like, no problem.
Yeah.
Like anything like that. I would love to do anything like that. And yeah, just getting a chance to. I just love comedy so much. I love making people laugh. I'm like addicted to it. So just somehow, if I could just make that my every day, like that would just be so great, which is why I'm trying to make my TikTok that. Like, I'd love to make people laugh, even just like on a, it's not even like it's good. Like, I know my vlogs aren't good yet, but I'm like, I'm trying to make
Yes.
it entertaining. Like,
No matter if no one's watching, I'm watching them.
oh yeah, perfect.
No, that's awesome. Well, I hope that that goal comes true because I would love to see you on a show because you make me laugh so much, even just from your TikTok. So, like, I'm definitely rooting for you there. And one more question here, kind of tying it back to the theme of this podcast and everything. What is one kind of rule of beauty standards or, social media or whatever that you want to see like people break down more over this next year?
I think filters, like, I think they're really bad for us. And I think they're helping no one,
No.
like, even the person using them. Like, when I used filters, they weren't helping me. So I know it as a fact. Like, when I stopped using them, I started actually being able to accept my face, which
Yes.
is like very necessary. Like, you need,
Oh,
if
yes.
you're constantly subconsciously telling yourself, like, I need to be covered, I'm not good enough, I need this. Wow, like that's a really tough road to be on. And then it's not good for your audience either, because the only reason this like beauty standard box is so freaking armored and like bulletproof is because we're all refusing to show that normality exists. Like, and like everyone's
Right.
like trying to be perfect. And these filters, I think, are just, I'd love to see people stop using filters. I get so sad when I see like a favorite celebrity, like, and I
I
know the beauty mode
know.
is on. I'm like, dude, you're like one
Like,
of the most beautiful people on the planet. How are the rest of us supposed to get by? Like,
yes.
you think you need the filter.
Exactly.
Like, it's
Exactly.
such bad messaging. So
It
I really look
is.
forward to the day where everyone just starts embracing like who they are, because
Yes.
like there is so much beauty in so many humans, and I think we all know that. So why are we letting the beauty standard win? That's the real question, you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah, we got to take that control back there
Yes,
and keep
yeah.
fighting that battle. And I actually did a full podcast episode. I think it was episode 5 where I think the title of it was like, "This is why you should stop using filters." Like I did a whole episode because
Good.
like they are so toxic, they're
So
addicting,
bad.
and they just like yikes. Like yeah,
Oh.
there's nothing there, they provide zero person with anything positive in my opinion.
They don't send out anything positive, and they don't give anything positive. And they really are like, I understand it's a shield.
Yeah.
Like, I understand it's a shield. But it's there was nothing coming at you. Like, there was
No.
no reason to put up the shield. You know,
Yes.
so like the more you tell yourself that you need to hide, like the worse it is, like to find the confidence journey, you know?
Yeah.
And yes, like shitty people exist, and like trust, like we've talked about our hate comments. So people will think, like, yes, I do need a shield,
Yeah.
but if enough of us put it down, then we all collectively won't need one.
Yes, I
So it's
totally
this
agree with
like
that.
circle, you know? Like, it's like it's hard to ask people to do that. I get it, because hate comments are horrible. But we win when they come down, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, and you went against the hate comments and the beauty standards, and I mean, obviously I always advocate just working day by day to break down those beauty standards and the walls of them, but it really is going to take more people than just like me and you and
Yeah.
other amazing creators. It'll really take like a lot more load of like more and more people just joining this whole kind of community of like normalization and embracing who you are. But I think we can do it with enough people. I think one day everything will just be.
The shift is coming for
It
sure.
is, yeah.
Like, I'm really excited about that. Like, there's like a lot of things when I think into the future that I'm like very afraid of. And I'm like, ooh, bad vibes.
Yeah.
This is like the one where I'm
One
like, no, this
yeah.
shift is coming. This is a good shift.
Yeah, the one glimmer.
Yeah, one glimmer out of the
Yeah.
whole like scary future.
Absolutely. Well, Taylor, thank you so much for coming on Loud Talk with Lavi.
Oh, no.
I enjoy our talks all the time, and
Me too. I love talking with you.
yes, like you're like just such a like breath of fresh air in this industry, and I could have you on for like 50,000 episodes because I feel like we could have so many topics to talk about. But I appreciate your time today, and I know anyone who listened in is probably like super grateful to hear about your experience as well, because you have a lot of amazing things to share. Go check out Taylor on all her platforms. I'll have them all listed down below. You're on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube as well, right?
I'm trying with YouTube, but yeah.
Okay, well, go subscribe to her on YouTube.
Yeah.
Let's build that up for her. And hopefully all of you are rooting that she gets on a show or a
Yes.
movie or something, because we need to see more of her face like everywhere.
Oh, I hope, yeah. If I promise if I ever get invited to the Oscars one day, I'll go no makeup. Like, just get me there.
Yes, I love
We'll
that.
normalize it on
Let's
the
do it.
red carpet.
Okay, well, we got to make that happen. Well, thank you so much for your time, Taylor. If you are listening on Apple or Spotify, go check out the video version on YouTube. Make sure to give it a thumbs up and comment down below what you thought about this episode, as well as what you want to see in the future. And if you are listening on Apple, Spotify, or any other streaming platform, make sure to rate this podcast 5 stars, please, if you did
Yes.
enjoy. And follow along on Instagram and TikTok, Loud Talk with Lavi, for the shorts and just more daily content re in regards to this podcast. But thank you so much, Taylor, for getting loud with me today. Remember to stay confident and stay loud, most of all. And I will, well, I guess you guys will hear from me in the next episode of Loud Talk with Lavi. Bye, everyone.